إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, my أعزائنا العلماء الكرام, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of you and to accept your coming here only and only for the sake and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. We are gathered here only for that reason. That is the reason you are here, that is the reason I am here, that is the reason Sheikh Waleed is here. As you know, this course, we make no money from this course. This is not a course to make any profit. The asatiza all teach for free. And what you are paying is for your own food and accommodation. That's it. And the reason we keep this course is because we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use this as a hujjah in our favor on the day of judgment, that we came and we met only for His sake and only for His pleasure, without any other motive, any other intention. And therefore, as the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said that when two Muslims, brothers and sisters, meet for the sake of Allah and part for the sake of Allah, Allah will give them the shade of His arsh on the day when there is no shade except His shade. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, insha'Allah al-musta'an. My dear brothers and sisters, if I told you that I do something on a daily basis, if I told you that I do something every single day without fail, and I have been doing it for the last 1 decade, 10 years. For the last 10 years, I have done this thing every single day. Say, for example, I told you that I go to the gym every single day without fail. I go to the gym. For the last 10 years, I have been going to the gym. Then what will you say to me? You will say 3 things to me. You will say, one, you will say, well, it looks like you are very fond of the gym. You love going to the gym. Because why else will you go to the gym every single day for the last 10 years? Second thing you will tell me is, that then you must know all about how to exercise, the way and methodology of exercises. You just won't go and just pick up a barbell or something. You know how to exercise because you've been doing that thing every single day for the last 10 years. And third thing you will say is that the effects of this exercise are visible in you. Yes? Now supposing I tell you that I have been doing this not for the last 10 years, not for the last 1 decade, but I've been doing it for the last 20 years, that I've been doing this, going to this gym every single day for the last 30 years, that I've been going to this gym every single day for the last 40 years, that I've been going to this gym every single day for the last 50 years, then what would you expect? You would expect to see Arnold Schwarzenegger sitting here, not me. Yes? So if you are seeing me sitting here and I am telling you that I have been going to the gym for the last 50 years every single day, and you take a look at me and you say, well, you know, 3 things I mentioned. What were the 3 things? I love going there. And 2, I know all about it. And 3, the effect of it, right? So you will say to me that we don't want to call you a liar. So you say that you have been going to the gym every single day for the last 50 years. So we won't call you a liar. And you love going to the gym. Well, we don't want to dispute that because the love of the gym is in your heart. We don't know. Maybe you love the gym. That you know all about exercising, I'm willing to believe that because that knowledge also is in your head. I can't see it. And if you tell me that I know all about exercising, I've been doing it for the last 50 years, I believe that. But I definitely do not see the effect of 50 years of exercise when I look at you. Yes or no? What am I referring to here? Am I referring to the gym? I'm referring to that which we, bismillahi ta'ala, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, I'm referring to that which we just completed. What did we just complete? Salatul Fajr. Alhamdulillah, except for one or two of the little ones, every single one of us has been a Muslim for 10 years or more. Yes or no? And people like me have been Muslim for more than 50 years. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about myself. And if I tell you that I love Salah, you might say, well, in your heart, we don't know, maybe Wallah Alam. Yes, we believe you. But if I tell you that I know all about Salah, the Arkan of Salah, the Faraid of Salah, the Mustahabat of Salah, the Sunan of Salah, the Fadail of Salah, say, well, maybe knowledge is in your head. But if I tell you that I have been praying for 50 years and more, for 60 years, not once a day, 5 times a day, then should you or should you not expect to see the effect of that salah in my life? Yes or no? Alhamdulillah, that the one who has to see it is also a Sattarul Uyub. He is the one who puts the cover. And alhamdulillah, that you are not the ones who are required to see the effects of my salah in me. And alhamdulillah, that I am not required to see the effects of your salah in you. But definitely, each one of us is required to see the effects of his own salah inside himself. And what are the two effects of salah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned in his kalam? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention that in the salah when you stand your head should be covered or not covered? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say when you stand in the salah that you must make rafa yadain or you should not make rafa yadain? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that when you stand in your salah that your trousers should be above your ankles or below your ankles? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that when you sit in tashahud and you move your finger, you should move it or you should not move it? Are all these things unimportant? Are they completely useless? We should forget about them? Yes or no? No, they are important. They are important. The covering of the head is from the waqar, the shayar of the man, like the beard. The beard and the covering of the head is from the shayar of the man. It is not haram to pray without a head covering. There is a dalil, and you know the dalil, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed one salah without his head covering. But it does not say that he led that salah, that he was the imam, no. And there are any number of more hadiths, many, many more, which say that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed with his head covered, with a turban, with a cap, with a turban over a cap, with a turban over a helmet, and so on and so forth. Now we take the one hadith where he prayed, maybe nafil, salah or something, without a head covering, and we pray our entire life without a head covering. And what shall we do with all the other hadiths which speak about the head being covered? And we say, I am Ahlul Hadith. You are Ahlul Nafs. You are not Ahlul Hadith. Because if you are Ahlul Hadith, then you will follow all the hadith. How come you pick and choose which hadith to follow? I'm not talking about that. I am talking about what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in his kalam about the effect of salah, about salah itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his salah in two places. One in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the qualities of the believer, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ خُشُوْ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. So if I have been praying for 50 years, what must be the level of my khushu? If I've been praying for 10 years, what must be the level of my khushu? And the second thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about salah in Surah Al-Ankabut. What did he say? Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Two effects of salah. One, khushu. Second, the result of khushu. Please understand this. We just read the Quran. We just read the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We focus again the same issue. We confuse activity with purpose. We confuse activity with purpose. Alhamdulillah, there are many of you who are graduates from various Diyarul Uloom, from various madaris and various jamiat. Some of you may even be the teachers of Quran, alhamdulillah. But when you are sitting before your ustad reciting kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting Quran, or when your student is sitting before you reciting Quran, when did anybody stop you and say, stop here? You just recited this ayah, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. What is your state? What is the state of your life? Is your salah keeping you away from al-fahushat wal-munkarat? Did anybody ask this question? So if I tell you that I go to the gym, I've been going for 50 years, and I've been going every single day, and I love going to the gym, and I know all about exercising, but if you are not seeing the effect of that exercise in my body, then what will you say? You will say to me, Sheikh, we don't dispute and argue that you love the gym, but maybe you are going to the gym and you are reading this book about calisthenics, and you are reading the book about aerobics, and you are reading the book about yoga, and you are the hafiz of the book on yoga, and you are the hafiz on the book on calisthenics, and you can read the book on aerobics in your sleep. You can recite these books, and you can also recite the book backwards. Alhamdulillah. But we do not see the effect of either calisthenics or aerobics or yoga or anything else in your life, in your body. So if I tell you that I go to the gym and I read the book on calisthenics and I read the book on yoga and I read the book on aerobics, what will you tell me about the time that I'm spending in the gym? Is it being spent usefully or am I wasting my time? Which one? Who is better? A person who does not know the theory about calisthenics and so on and so forth. He doesn't know the theory. He just knows how to do it properly. And he goes to the gym and 1 hour of workout. There is a poster in my gym which says, shut up and train. It's a very good poster. It says, shut up and train. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what did he say about the issue of the quality of the believer with respect to his internal affair? Khushu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the ayat came with regard to Abu Jahl. I'm not going into the asbab wa nuzul of the ayah. I'm saying every ayah is applicable to every person who's reading it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alam ya'alam bi anna Allah yara? Alam ya'alam bi anna Allah yara? Does he not know that Allah is watching him? I remind you to ask yourself if you wish that when you are standing in salat, Allahu Akbar, do we think, Alam ya'alam bi anna Allah yara? I'm standing before my Rabb and he's watching me. Do we have this awareness? If we do not even have this awareness when we are standing in the musalla with wudu inside the masjid, after making the niyyah of salah, after takbir at tahrima, when is this awareness going to come? What is the good of that knowledge that you have? What is the good of the knowledge that I have? What is the good of the so-called love of deen which we claim? If we don't have the effect of that deen, Allah. Please forgive me, I was telling Sheikh Walid al-Basayuni that I am sounding as if I am just attaining puberty. But that is not the case. This is some bug that I got in London. And in London, I was in a hotel which was around the corner from Buckingham Palace, and it was directly opposite Scotland Yard. So I am not willing to speculate on where I got the bug from. But this is the result. And then I just came last night at 1 o'clock after a 16-hour flight and 3 hours in Dubai. So that's 19 hours of traveling. And I'm getting a bit long in the tooth, as you can see. So please forgive me. I mean, I inshallah will not expire before your eyes. But if I do, then make dua of maghfirah, inshallah. So my point is that as far as this issue of salah is concerned, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. If you take the issue of love, somebody asked the servant of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, they said, tell us something about the life of Abdullah ibn Abbas. And the man said a very beautiful thing. He said, the life of Abdullah ibn Abbas was that he would, from one salah, he would wait for the next salah, and in between he would recite Quran. Wait for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his kitab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Yes? يَرْجُ. What is يَرْجُ اللَّهَ? Desire to meet Allah. Everybody will meet Allah. Whether he likes it or he doesn't like it is not based on that. يَرْجُ اللَّهَ. Now, who will desire to meet somebody? If I do something wrong, I know that I am going to get punished. A thief, does he say, I would love to meet a policeman. I look forward to meeting a policeman. No, he is running away from the policeman. He does not want to meet the policeman. He wants to run. And that is what will happen to the ruh when Malakul Maut comes before you and me. The ruh of the disbeliever, the ruh of the fasiq and fajir, the ruh of the one who does not want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disperse in his body, will try to run away from Malakul Maut. But there is no escape. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then he will extract it, and the way he extracts it, it will be like pulling a branch of thorns through a ball of wet wool. Every single strand will get separated. And it will come out screaming, and it will come out with great pain, but it will come out. Whereas the one who loves to meet Allah, Yarjullah, his ruh will come out how? Like a drop of water falling from a jug. We ask Allah to make us all among those whose ruh is extracted in this way, inshallah. But this ruju' ila Allah, this love to meet Allah, this is the mashq. Many times people make this statement and they say the first university was Suffa. The first Darul Ulum was Suffa. The first Jamia was Suffa. I differ, I disagree completely. A Suffa was not a Darul Ulum. A Suffa was not a Jamia. A Suffa was Darul Mashq. It was the place of practice. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not teaching any 6 year, 7 year, 8 year course. He didn't take an exam at the end of the course. They were not reading any books. For a great part of that time, even the Quran and Majid was not written down in the form of one book anyway. So what were they doing? What made the Sahaba Sahaba? Apart from the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is what made them Sahaba, it was the practice. It was the practice. Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu and his Ansari brother were given the job of guarding the camp. So they made a pact and they said, you sleep for some time and I will pray, I will guard it, then I will wake you up. And Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu was the first one. He was sleeping and his Ansari brother was awake, so he decided to pray. If I'm standing awake, I may as well pray. So he's praying tahajjud. And the enemy came from the back, he saw him. And he shot an arrow. I always tell people, go to YouTube and look at arrow hunting, bow hunting videos. You will understand what is the meaning of being shot by an arrow. Now he was wearing armor, so the arrow didn't go through him. But it hit him, it injured him badly. Second arrow, third arrow. At the end, when third arrow, he felt that maybe I will die or something, is when he woke up Ammar ibn Yasir. Ammar ibn Yasir was the man that the enemy ran away because he saw the other person also wake up. So Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, he said, why didn't you not wake me up before? He said, I wanted to complete my recitation. He was reciting Surah Al-Kahf. He said, I didn't want to stop my recitation. I wanted to complete my recitation. Now my point is that this shauq, this love for the company of Allah, the love for being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if this cannot wake you up in the night to stand in before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tahajjud, then make no mistake, don't fool yourself. It's not there. It is not there. That is your test, your personal test. The one who loves Allah stands in tahajjud. Again, dalail from the Quran. My voice is going, so I don't want to go into too many details, but read Surah Al-Muzammil, the first ayat of Surah Al-Muzammil. Then read the asbab and nuzul of those ayat of Surah Al-Muzammil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, if Allah gives me the tawfiq and the ability, then during the course we'll talk about all of this, but test yourself. As I mentioned, two things to test. If you are going to the gym, the effects of the gym must be visible in your body. If you are going before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the effect of that must be visible in your body, in your life, in your speech, in your action, in your soul. It's not only body. It is all these things. And we have to monitor ourselves in all of these things. The kitab that Shaykh will teach you, the book of which is called Living Islam, it's a compilation of ayat and a hadith on all of these aspects of our lives. On aqidah, on ibadat, on akhlaq, on muamilat, muashira. And then there are some, there's a chapter on sunnah, and there's a chapter on softening of the heart. Listen carefully. The purpose here is this is not a fiqh course. So don't get involved in the daqaiq of aqidah. Don't get involved in the minor and detailed things of, you know, this one and no. Stay with La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Then nobody has any dispute on La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. People have difference of opinion. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala istawa ala larsh? Or is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala present in the kainat? Leave that alone. Leave that alone. That's not why you are here. When you want to go into that, go talk to your sheikh. Take the knowledge from there. That's not why you are here. Here, you are here to see when you say La ilaha illallah, what does it do to your heart? Does it do anything at all? This is our problem. We get involved in whether Allah is on the arsh or somewhere else. We are not involved in what happens to me when I say La ilaha illallah. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said something must happen to you. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. What is happening to your qalb when the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming before you? Who is concerned about this? On the day of judgment, it will not be asked to you, how much of knowledge did you have? What will be asked is, what did you do with what you knew? And I have said this many times before. Every single one of us who is sitting here already knows enough to go into Jannah bi ghairi hisab, insha'Allah. Provided we follow it. Even if you do not learn one single word more, it will not make any difference to your entry into Jannah as long as you follow what you already know. And I will give you the dalil of that and I will disappear. And the dalil of that is the hadith, Quds, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if my slave prays the 5 fard salawat on time, then I take it upon myself as my responsibility to forgive him and enter him into Jannah. And if he does not do that, then it is not my responsibility. I may do it, I may not do it. Now, how many of you here do not know that we should pray the 5 fard salawat on time? Anybody here does not know that? Khalas. So we already know how to get into Jannah on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my responsibility, I will forgive him, I will give him Jannah. So let us concentrate on this issue. Love for Salah, knowledge about Salah, and then monitoring the effect of that Salah in our lives. Because if that effect of the Salah is not there, then the other two are highly doubtful. I don't say you have it, you don't have it, I do not know what's in your heart. But I am saying when looking at you, I can say, or you looking at me, you should be able to say, is the effect of Salah in this person or not? When you listen to me speaking, you should be able to say, is the effect of Salah in this person or not? If I am cursing, if I am using bad language, if I am saying things like this, so Allah, where is Tanha anil Fahsha wal Munkar? Where is it? He's cursing, he's using bad language. How is this Tanha anil Fahsha wal Munkar? If I am lying, if I am doing ghibah, if I am bad talking, I am backbiting somebody, where is the Tanha anil Fahsha wal Munkar? We know all about the daqaiq of fiqh, but we do not know that ghibah is haram. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. So let us monitor ourselves. I don't think I need to say anything more. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to make the best use of this time. You're going to be here for 5 days. And it's a intensive course. It's a tough course. But alhamdulillah, having done this many times before, Malaysia, this is the third one. We have, alhamdulillah, the experience to say that those who apply themselves, inshallah, will benefit enormously from this. Nobody will chase you. Nobody will come to remind you to come for tahajjud. Nobody will remind you for anything. It's your life. If you want to take 5 days out of your life and kiss it goodbye, that's your life. But if you want to make use of it, then inshallah, I guarantee you from my side, and I guarantee you on behalf of Sheikh Khalid, and I guarantee you on behalf of, alhamdulillah, we are going to get Sheikh Muhammad Chepi tomorrow and somebody else. Whoever comes to this course, I can guarantee you that the teachers, inshallah, will do their best. You will find them in the classroom before you. But if you don't take advantage of that, then that's your choice. I don't think you will do that. I think, inshallah, you will take advantage, inshallah, after coming all this way. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all the organizers, Brother Shazli and his whole team of I Muslim, mashallah, for arranging this beautiful place. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you, to fill your hearts with his noor. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the doors of his heart and to get you close to him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep the hearts of all of us together. As I mentioned to you, this is not a fiqh course. Do not ask any fiqh questions. Your asatiza, alhamdulillah, except for myself, the others are capable and they are able to give you the answers. But they will not give you the answers. Don't put them in a spot, don't ask the question. That is not why you are here. Go back home, ask your local mufti whatever question you want to ask. Here, you are here to focus on your nafs. You are here to focus on your heart. You are here to focus on your practice of Islam. You are here to focus on getting close to Allah. You are here to focus on how to get your dua accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. You are here to focus on how to bring change in your own life. That is why you are here. Focus on that. Stay with that, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you success, not in keeping with your effort, but in keeping with His majesty and grace. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.